Hello and welcome to Media News. Media News aims to be an authentic voice bringing you real, truthful stories from the Middle East with a particular focus on the Kurdish question that is often ignored, self-censored, or suppressed by the mainstream media platforms. Tonight, we're going to be discussing the PKK ban in Germany after recently some lawyers in Germany submitted an application to take the PKK off the list of proscribed organizations. Germany issued a ban on the PKK on the 26th of November, 1993, at the height of Turkey's systematic destruction of Kurdish villages in the southeast of Turkey. The then German Federal Minister of the Interior, Manfred Kanter, issued a ban on the PKK in Germany. This essentially aided the Turkish government in quashing any opposition to Turkey's ethnic cleansing campaign against the Kurds in the southeast of Turkey and helped to criminalize the Kurdish issue and the Kurdish community in Europe. The ban continues to this day, and Germany have been one of Turkey's closest allies in repressing Kurdish political voices in the EU. Just this weekend, we saw a demonstration protesting against Turkey's illegal invasion of Iraqi Kurdistan on the 17th of April, and the Turkish army's continued attacks in north and east Syria. And the demonstration was brutally attacked under the pretense and justification of a few banned flags. And so video footage is seen of Kurds in Berlin having escaped brutal repression in Turkey, now being held in tight neck locks and beaten with hard wooden batons of the German police. Clearly, this legislation is being used to repress peaceful demonstrators with the purpose of helping the Turkish government in its campaign to annihilate the Kurdish movement. On the 10th of May this year, lawyers Dr. Pierre Stoll and Dr. Lucas Thun made an official application to Germany's Federal Interior Ministry to lift the ban on the Kurdistan Workers' Party, PKK, in Germany. This application has been submitted following two other significant cases that have gone through the European courts recently. One, the now famous Belgium case, where Belgium lawyers successfully argued that the PKK was not a terrorist organization, but rather simply a party to a conflict, a ruling that was upheld by Belgium's highest court of appeal. And a legal case also continues at the European Union level over the PKK's prescription in the bloc's list of proscribed organizations. The last and final hearing at the Court of Justice of the European Union was held on the 31st of March of this year, with a ruling expected at the end of the year. So, what lies behind the latest submission to lift the PKK ban in Germany? And what are, if any, its chances of success? I'm very honored and pleased to say that today we are joined by Dr. Nick Brons, who is a German researcher, journalist, and writer who has closely followed the developments in Turkey and Kurdistan over the years. He is the author of many books, articles, and research on relations of the German state with Turkey and Kurdistan. Welcome to Media News, Dr. Nick Brons, and thank you so much for sparing us some of your valuable time to hear your thoughts and insights on these issues. Welcome.
Hi, Mark.
Thank you so much, and lovely to meet you too. Can I begin perhaps just by asking if you could give our listeners just a little bit more historical background to the PKK ban in Germany, just how serious it has been, and what effect it has had on the Kurdish diaspora community and Kurdish politicians in exile in Germany?
Yes, well, the state repression against Kurdish liberation struggle and the PKK was there even before the ban of PKK. It started, we can say, in the middle of the 1980s, when the armed struggle of PKK in Turkey started, in Kurdistan. Then there was a decision in the NATO leadership to fight this organization not only with military means in Kurdistan, but also with the means of the yes, with political means and with repression in Europe, because in Europe, there, especially in Germany, there was a large, there still is a large Kurdish diaspora. At that time, mainly, workers, they came here as Turks, but in fact, a lot of them were Kurds. Now there are also a lot of refugees among them, not only working immigrants, but also political refugees. And well, in the 1980s, there started support for the Kurdish struggle. And therefore, even in the at the end of the 1980s, there was a big trial against more than 20 Kurdish politicians in Germany. It was said that there were terrorists, but this trial, well, it was not successful for the state. In fact, they were not really able to prove that these people were terrorists. And well, at the end, I think only they were all in prison as long as there was a trial. But at the end, only against one or two of them, they could really act. And then the ban of the PKK in 1993, this was not aiming at the cadres, at the full-timers of PKK, but the idea was to beat the mass support of the Kurdish diaspora for PKK. The official reason for this ban were some violent protests of Kurds when Turkey started to bomb Kurdish villages and cities, when Cizre and Şırnak were bombed by helicopters, by fighter planes, then there was a wave of militant, violent protests of Kurds in Germany, arson attacks against meeting places of the Grey Wolves, and so on. And this was the official reason. The ministry says, well, this organization is a danger for German security. It's hostile towards us. It creates hostility between Kurds and Turks. So they gave many reasons, but I think the most important reason in this ban was, they say, the activities of this separatist organization in Germany are against the interests of our NATO partner Turkey, and therefore this organization is also against the foreign interests of Germany, and therefore we have to ban them, because their activities, we can't tolerate their activities anymore. And I think this is still the main reason for this ban. I will later talk about this, but all the other reasons are not valid anymore. There is no violence by Kurds for many, many years now in Germany. Well, but what does this ban really mean? We can say this ban was a basis for many other bans of Kurdish cultural centers, of Kurdish media, so on. It is the basis still from the ban of many demonstrations, even of Nevros festivals. Sometimes in the 1990s, they even banned football games, and even I think sometimes a wedding was banned because they say, PKK people will meet there. So there are thousands, or I think even now, after about 30 years, even tens of thousands of criminal proceedings against many, many Kurds. Just the people have to pay fines because they said on a demonstration they cheered for Öcalan, Bizi Serok Apo. It's illegal in Germany, this slogan. Or people have to pay fines because they wear a t-shirt with a picture of Öcalan, or with a banner of, with a flag of PKK. Or in the last years, even they at least they tried to make repression even against the banners of YPG and YPJ, the flags of the Kurdish militias from Rojava that fought the Islamists, the IS. But the German state says, oh, this is only one wing of PKK. As Turkey, Germany says the same. And it's, for example, it's totally illegal in many cities to show banners with a picture of Abdullah Öcalan. But the strange thing is it could be different from one part to another part in Germany because of the federal order here. So sometimes you can show Öcalan's picture maybe in Frankfurt, but not in Berlin. Or in one city, it said, you are in Berlin. Sometimes if we have a demonstration, we say it's a demonstration to free Abdullah Öcalan, for his freedom. Then sometimes they allow one flag for every 50 participants of the protest. So they really, we joke, they really? Say police makes a real cult around Öcalan.
It's really extraordinary, isn't it? The level of complicity.
They say, yes, you can show one flag, but not in military clothes and not with a blue shirt and a yellow background. So we say Öcalan is now, I think it's 70 years old now. He is old enough to choose what to wear. He don't need the Berlin police to tell him what shirt to wear. It's really strange. But for many people who come to the demonstration, it means they could get attacked for such a flag, for a slogan, and so on. And it's not only these attacks, sometimes even physical attacks, as we had this weekend, but also there could be consequences, for example, if you want your naturalization for German citizenship. Yeah. Sometimes they don't allow. They say, oh, you joined a demonstration or a Nevros festival, or you regularly go to a cultural center that is close to PKK, so you should not be a German citizen, or even you have to go out of Germany. We don't want you here anymore. So this ban creates fear among the Kurdish diaspora. Many people, they think, oh, we don't go on a demonstration anymore. It could be dangerous. Well, we know from the Secret Service. The Secret Service says, oh, the Kurds in Germany, they spend a lot of money to PKK. So I think it's true. And there we see the Kurds. We have about 1 million Kurds here. Many of them still are strong supporters of the liberation struggle. But they think twice before joining a demonstration. So because of this ban, of all these consequences for job, for citizenship and so on. And also there's kind of general suspicious against Kurds in Germany. If you say you're Kurdish, people think, oh, you're a terrorist. So if you're looking for a job, if you're looking for a flat, or even at school, people look at you. So this ban also acts as an obstacle for the integration of Kurds living in Germany. So these are all the consequences of this ban. And this ban is only part, we must say, only part of a strategy of repression. There are two other elements. One is infamous paragraph 129b against foreign terrorist organizations. With this paragraph, they catch the cadres, the full-timers of PKK. Every year, several of them are sentenced to prison, to several years of prison sentences, not for individual crimes. They are peaceful persons. They organize demonstrations. They organize cultural meetings and so on. They don't throw even a stone or a bottle, but they are sentenced just for being a cadre, a full-timer of an organization that is called a terrorist organization. And Then we have the third element of repression, and this is a European list of terrorist organizations. This list, officially, it means you could not make any business with the people or the organizations that are listed on it, and their money must be freezed. But in the practice, this list also means you have problems as a lawyer. For example, as a lawyers in this case we are talking about, to have contact to their clients, because these lawyers who want to end the ban of PKK made this application. Well, of course, their client is the leadership of the KCK, the Kurdish Communities Union in the Kandil Mountains, and the KCK is also on this list of terrorist organizations. So for these lawyers, of course, it's not easy to get in a contact with their clients without, because it could be dangerous for themselves.
Yeah. Gosh, I mean, Nick, you've painted such a vivid and disturbing picture, and I'm sure there's so many other things to say. How disturbing it is, and you've been able to see that with your close connection to the Kurdish community in Germany. I feel very much the same here in the UK. I witness these things, and trying to tell somebody else, you know, in who lives in this country, who would never in a million years think that our countries repress democratic sort of opposition and peaceful just opposition in such a repressive way that mirrors the Turkish state's repression of the Kurds in Turkey. Most people would find it completely extraordinary. But don't have much time, so I just want to quickly go on. The lawyers, Dr. Pierre Stuhl and Dr. Lucas Thune, have made an official application in that environment, have made an official application to Germany's Federal Interior Ministry on the 10th of May to lift the ban on the PKK, Kurdistan Workers' Party, in Germany. What is the background to this specific application, and what, in your opinion, are its chances of success?
Well, the lawyers, they say the reasons for the ban are not valid anymore. PKK is not violent in Germany anymore for many years, for about 20 years. I think the last real violence was after Öcalan was arrested. There were some militant protests here, but other things, there is no violent strategy anymore. The PKK leadership says we want to act in a peaceful, democratic way in Germany. Then the lawyers say PKK is not the same PKK as about 30 years ago. They don't fight for a Kurdish national state anymore, but they fight for democracy in all the countries where Kurds live. They fight for women's liberation, for ecology, and so on. Mm. They are partners of the international coalition against Daesh, against the IS. So and the lawyers say, well, the Turkish state is nothing you could protect anymore. The Turkish state now acts itself as a criminal organization against the opposition in Turkey, against the Kurds, against the democratic opposition in Turkey, against the Kurds in Syria, Rojava, in South Kurdistan, with these military actions that are illegal according to international law. And so the lawyers say also for these reasons there should be no ban anymore. And they also say the ban of PKK that itself creates these crimes, because the state says, oh, we have every year we have hundreds or thousands of crimes that are connected with PKK. But the lawyers say, well, only because of the ban of PKK. Without this ban, there would be no crimes. And also, if the state says, oh, there are fights between Kurds and the police, the reason for these fights is also the ban. The police attacks a demonstration because the people chant Bizi Serok Apo. Then, of course, there are some Kurdish youths, maybe they fight back. They don't want the police beat their mothers and fathers or So, and then you have violence there, but without the ban of PKK, there would be no violence, there would be no attack on the demonstrations, there would be no illegal slogan. So, all these so-called PKK crimes are only criminal because of the ban of PKK. They would not be criminal in other European countries. These are is what a lawyer say. Well, and now you ask me, could it be successful? Well, on the last week, several hours after the lawyers made the application, the a speaker of the ministry says, we have no reason to change our mind about the PKK being a terrorist and extremist organization. This was first what they said. And then I think the next answer was the answer we had on Saturday when we had this peaceful demonstration in Berlin. A peaceful demonstration without any illegal banners or posters or slogans. Well, not slogans. There were several slogans for Öcalan, for PKK, for the guerrilla. And the police was there with, well, I think with several thousand policemen and really Robocop police. And they several times attacked the demonstration very hard. People get injured, people get arrested. So I think one reason was the state wanted these pictures. The state wanted pictures to prove that Kurds are violent people, that Kurds are criminal, are dangerous people. These pictures were created by the police. I think another reason for these attacks was there was a meeting of the NATO ministers. Çavuşoğlu, Mevlüt Çavuşoğlu, the foreign minister of Turkey, he was in Berlin. Mm-hmm. And there was discussion with him whether Finland and Sweden should join NATO. And Erdogan and Çavuşoğlu, they say, well, we would allow it only, we would not veto it only if Sweden or if general, the West, our Western partners are more repressive against PKK. And so I think
the extraordinary, wasn't it?
Administration yeah. was a part of these doing business in the NATO.
Yeah, it really is extraordinary. So we have to say,
yeah. Personally, I'm not so optimistic that we could that the application could be
successful.
But yeah. I think the lawyers are realistic. They are very realistic with this. And so they have to wait for a written answer of the ministry. And if the answer is no, we will not remove the ban, then the lawyers can go to the administrative court. And also there, I think we need, for being successful, we need a lot of pressure. Pressure from the street, diplomatic pressure. Pressure also from the Kurdish movement in the Middle East. And so we need all this. Then maybe could be successful, but it will be a long and a hard struggle, I think.
Yeah.
Because Germany and Turkey, they're very close, and this ban is for political reasons.
Of course.
Ban is not for security reasons or something like that, but it's for political reasons because we have about 150 years of Germany and Turkey being brothers in arms.
Yeah. Nick, you have been a very long-time observer of the Kurdish issue and the various strategic maneuvers of the Turkish state over the years. How would you assess, lastly, the present situation? Clearly, the Turkish state are not going to be able to solve the Kurdish issue by military means alone. We've seen this, you know, with various sort of examples of millions of Kurds coming out this year from Nevros. You know, the whole Rojava, the democratic experiment that is happening in Rojava, the Kurdish issue is stronger, you know, their identity is stronger now than it's ever been. So clearly, even from the Turkish state's point of view, it's not going to be able to solve the Kurdish issue with military means alone. But at this present moment, we also look far away, as you say, from a peaceful or political settlement. What is your assessment of the next stage of this conflict? I mean, how would the decriminalization of the PKK help or hinder any search for a political settlement?
Well, decriminalization of the Kurdish movement in Europe, especially in Germany, would make pressure on the Turkish government to look for other means than only military means. It would make pressure then for dialogue. But as long as Germany supports this repressive strategy and is silent towards the crimes of the Turkish state, Turkey goes on with these crimes, with this repression, with these illegal wars against Rojava and so on.
So they are complicit in these crimes. Dr. Nick Bronze, just anything else? We've just come to the end of our interview now. I'd love to talk to you all night, to be honest, but is there anything else that you would like to add about this particular issue of the PKK ban in Germany?
Well, not only about this ban, I think we have to see we have a general repression of the German state against revolutionary forces, against liberation movements, and so on. On Saturday, they attacked our Kurdish demonstration. On Sunday, they attacked a lot of Palestinians in Berlin. All over the weekend, all Palestinian demonstrations for the Nakba Day were banned in Berlin. Even a demonstration of a Jewish group, an anti-Zionist Jewish group, was banned. And so the same police that attacked our Kurdish friends on Saturday attacked the Palestinians on Sunday. Arrested them just for wearing a kufir, these like pusho, these Palestine. So I think it's not only about the Kurds, but Germany has two close partners in the Middle East, Israel and Turkey, and so it helped both countries. But Germany has broad diaspora from both countries here. Alan, in Berlin, I think there live a lot, several tens of thousands of Palestinians and tens of thousands of Kurds. We have 1 million Kurds in Germany. So these issues are also issues of democracy in Germany. It's not only about democracy for the Kurdish movement or for the Palestinians, but these bans against the Kurdish movement, or this repression against the Palestinians, or the attacks against democratic rights of everybody, I would say. So people who are in solidarity with them, they could get arrested as well. A young friend, a German friend, who was organizer of some Kurdish demonstrations. He's not allowed to leave Germany anymore. They took his passport. They say, oh, you're an international terrorist. So
my God, it's really extraordinary.
Or if you as a German support the Kurdish struggle or the Palestine struggle, they make so much pressure on you, it's even hard to get a job and so on. So really, we have here, it's a struggle for democratic rights, not only for the Kurds, not only for the Palestinians, but we have to fight against a tendency of a more and more authoritarian state in Germany. So the German state learns from Turkey. And this is a dangerous development.
Absolutely. Dr. Nick Bronze, researcher, journalist, and writer, who has closely followed the developments in Turkey and Kurdistan over the years. Thank you once again for sharing your valuable insights with us today. I mean, I knew Germany was bad, but even I'm quite shocked by some of the things that you've told us tonight. And I hope we'll be able to talk again very soon. Thank you very much for your thoughts.
Feel free.
Thank you, Nick.
Thank you.
Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good night.